Good evening, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, also known as Zany Mystic. Tonight's guest healed himself from an incurable and painful neurological condition. In a 9-year odyssey of self-healing, he developed an evolutionary healing procedure, I almost lost it there, called the Presence Process. He has a book by that name, and I'm pleased to welcome Michael Brown to the show. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Your journey's been a long one, hasn't it?
It continues.
Yes, exactly. It's never-ending, isn't it?
Yeah. The destination is the journey.
Exactly. How and where did this evolutionary voyage begin?
Well, I can't really pinpoint the beginning, but I can say that when I chose to start trying to heal myself of my condition as opposed to going to others to look for assistance, I think that's when the journey started becoming conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But the journey had been going on since I was very young. I'd been very curious about all sorts of things. I think the first book I ever really opened and read myself voluntarily was the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to know what was missing, you know?
Yeah.
And why it was going missing. But it's when I realized I'd had this condition for so long that whenever I went to anyone to speak to them about it, I realized I'd become the authority on the condition.
Huh.
And it was no point in speaking to anyone about it. So, it entailed a lot of pain. So it was really a decision of, am I going to check in or am I going to check out?
Yeah.
And I decided to check in and started exploring how my own experience comes about.
Huh.
And that led me to an awareness that I wasn't my experience, that I was having an experience, and that one of my failings in trying to heal myself was there's nothing wrong with me. It was my relationship with my experience that was out of balance.
Mm.
And so then I started to, uncover how the experience comes together. How do I manifest this experience I'm having?
Mm-hmm.
And in learning that, how can I then adjust it to a way that it doesn't involve immense amounts of pain and discomfort?
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, realizing that the pain and discomfort was actually my ally. It was calling me back into the body from being pretty much lost in the mental plane.
Oh.
And as I agreed to re-enter the body and start living in this moment as opposed to some moment in my head, the pain decreased to a point that I became pain-free.
Wow.
And in the process, it taught me about what I call the pathway of awareness, is how our awareness enters this world and how we can use that same pathway to return to an awareness of what we really are, our authentic essence, as opposed to identifying with our experience.
Uh-huh. So in a sense, I'm just going to ask you this point blank. Do you feel that illness is a misunderstood gift to move us closer to spirit and source?
In my experience and with working with others, I find that pain and discomfort doesn't come to hurt us. It comes to show us where we are already hurting.
Mm.
And if we resist it by trying to cut it out, sedate it, control it, suppress it, whatever we do, that causes us to enter suffering. It's not the pain and discomfort that's causing the suffering. It's the resistance to actually acknowledging the pain and discomfort and listening to it, which mostly what it's doing is it's trying to pull us into an awareness of what's going on in our emotional body.
Uh-huh.
And if we resist that pull, then we are entering an experience called suffering.
Much of the traditional medicine, which involves deadening pain and prescription pills and sleeping medications and stuff, all of which I've been addicted to myself in the past and still occasionally have little problems with,
right,
are ways of avoiding, are really masking deeper the things that are going on in the emotional body and keeping us from being present.
To unwrap this is really to look at what the pathway of awareness is. If you look at a child entering the world, a child first is an emotional being, then it uses its emotions to start communicating, and then it becomes physically aware and physically independent.
Mm-hmm.
And this pathway from emotional to mental to physical can be seen too in what's called the seven-year cycle. The first 7 years of our life, we're children and we're emotional beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we enter schooling and we enter a very focused mental activity. And around about 14, we go through puberty and we suddenly start having a very intimate, physical relationship with the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there we see again the pathway going from emotional to mental to physical.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we're adults, we're physically transfixed by the world.
Yeah.
We believe that the world is the cause of our experience and are not aware that what happens in the first 7 years of our life, it's like an imprinting or tattoo.
Huh.
Whatever experience we have imprints our emotional body. That then radiates into our mental awareness and becomes our physical circumstances.
Huh.
So I think doctors get a bad rap because we go to doctors expecting them to cure us.
Right.
But a doctor can't cure you. They can only work with the physical. They're masters of the physical. You know, if I get run over by a car, don't take me to a aromatherapist or to a, you know what I mean? Let's be sensible. Take me to a doctor because that's what a doctor can do.
Right.
But if I have a terminal condition,
yeah.
Unless my symptoms are so out of control that I'm about to lose my body, you know, don't take me to a doctor because a doctor can't cure me. They just know how to sedate,
yeah.
And control and work with the physical.
Yeah.
If I want to adjust my experience, I have to journey back into my emotional body. I have to take my awareness back along that pathway of awareness from the physical.
Yeah.
I have to get into this body. Then I have to get mentally clear about what's going on with me.
Yeah.
And part of the mental clarity is realizing that the causal point of my experience is coming from my emotional body.
Yeah.
And I can give you just a brief, you know, look at what that means.
Yes, absolutely.
The way we behave in the world and the way our leaders behave, we believe that if we want peace, we need to go and tell everyone to shut up and sit still so that we can be
yeah.
at peace, right?
Yeah.
So we believe peace is a physical circumstance.
Right.
Okay. Or if we want peace, we gather a whole lot of people around and say, bring your peace manifestos and we'll discuss peace until we have a common agreement. Then
yeah.
we'll sign this in front of the media and then we'll have peace. And
yeah,
we know
right.
that, in other words, we believe peace is some sort of a mental concept.
Right.
Okay, so neither of these have ever worked in the history of humanity because
true.
Peace actually is a feeling.
Huh.
The causal point of my experience, if I don't feel at peace, I'm not at peace.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, no matter how I think about it,
yeah.
and no matter how my physical circumstances are, right?
That's
so the causal point of the quality of my experience is in the emotional body, because when I come into this world, that body is imprinted with certain patterns of energy in motion or energy not in motion.
Mm-hmm.
If those energies are blocked through experiences I can't integrate as a child, those blockages create resistance.
Mm-hmm.
They then all resistance creates friction and heat,
mm-hmm.
and that heat I then conceptualize and cause fear, anger, and grief, which I then manifest as my physical circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's no point me going trying to arrange the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
or even what I think about what's going on. In other words, spending years and years in therapy talking about it, if I don't actually adjust the causal point, which is how I really feel
yeah.
about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what the presence process is. It's a means for us to facilitate ourselves, not to have to go to anybody else, but to facilitate ourselves to make that journey along the pathway of awareness. First get in this body,
yeah.
then gain some mental clarity, and mental clarity is really my emotional content is the causal point of the quality of my experience. And then once I gain that clarity, then if I want to make an adjustment to my experience, I need to go into my emotional body and feel what's really going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And through feeling it, that's what adjusts it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Now, is this something that anyone can do?
Anybody can do it.
Exactly. Okay.
Because anybody can feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of us don't have emotional body awareness as adults. Which is self-perception.
Yeah.
Because our emotional body shuts down between the ages of 7 and 14.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have emotional body awareness. Emotional body awareness is I can feel the consequences of my presence in the world. I can feel the consequences of my thoughts, words, and deeds before I even put them into play.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where that is. Where there is love, there is no law. In other words, where I'm functioning from the heart, no one needs to tell me about my behavior.
Yeah.
Because my feeling content will tell me if I'm yeah. if I'm about to manipulate someone, I will feel manipulated.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's right.
So there I can do physical things for you. I can post mail for you. I can Even if I was strong enough, I could even carry you around. I can do physical stuff for you.
Yeah.
I can do mental stuff for you. I can stand up in a court of law and represent you and talk on your behalf. But I cannot feel on your behalf.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And therefore, I cannot heal for you, because if I want to adjust my experience and I need to go to the causal point of it, which is the emotional body, I'm going to have to go and feel that for myself.
Yeah.
Okay? So essentially, this is a journey at some point I'm going to have to take on my own. In other words, I'm going to have to go into my feelings and feel this. But just because we know this to be so, we don't want to dive in there. We want to do it compassionately, you know, sensibly, consistently, responsibly. And that's why doing it through a process is advised, and not just diving in there.
Well, it sounds also like people would need to have a certain amount of clarity, mental clarity, in order to do this.
Yes.
In other words, you shouldn't be on heavy sedatives or hypnotics or a heavy alcohol or drugs.
Well, absolutely. But if you are, you can still do the work.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And what happens is, if I'm on something, for example, that is sedating me because I have high anxiety.
Yeah.
And anxiety is an interesting word. If you look at the word anxiety, it says the word any exit in it.
Huh.
In other words, I want to get out of anything but being here right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want out of this moment, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to look for any way out, and that's anxiety. That's because my emotional body is so uncomfortable, and I don't know that because I don't have emotional body awareness. I can't feel it.
Yeah.
But it's so uncomfortable that I've resorted to behaviors of sedation and control, just so that I can handle what's going on in every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So a person that is now medicated, because what we can do is we can go and take medications that block the emotional body awareness even more. They block the movement, the awareness of the emotional body. So we just have mental and physical awareness, and that's what's called having a nice day. I'm just having a nice day, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel anything, so I'll use this word nice, which means absolutely nothing to describe my circumstances, right?
Yeah.
I'm having a nice day, right? I'm feeling okay. What does that mean, right? So if I'm sedating myself like that, and I've been sedating myself for a long time, I don't want to just take myself off that self-medication.
Right.
What I want to do is start giving myself an opportunity to start working with my emotional body and feeling what's going on in there, and through the feeling of it, start restoring it back to balance.
Mm.
And as I do that, what I will notice is my medication will start to get stronger because I don't require it so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can gradually decrease my dosage.
Mm.
But these things have to be done responsibly. You want to go to somebody and say, look, I'm doing this procedure that is going to remove this charge in my emotional body. You know, you can explain it to them however you want, but
right.
I would like you to assist me to gradually decrease my dosage. And don't let anyone tell you that if you're on medication, you're there forever. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. If you decrease the charge in the emotional body, you can at some point get off your medication. You must just have respect for how long you've been on that medication.
Uh-huh.
Right? So you don't just go off it in a week.
Well, right.
You may not even go off and team. It might take you 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
To slowly decrease the dosage, because you've been leaning on this medication and not on your emotional body, on your emotional maturity.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have to learn to grow up emotionally, so that you can manage your own energy in motion.
So
people on medication is because they can't manage, especially antidepressants and things like that. These are people that haven't learned how to manage their own energy, right? So no one teaches us. We can grow up physically by eating the right nutrition. You know, just if you just eat the basic nutrition, your physical body matures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just do the basic schooling, reading and writing, you have some mental body that you can use.
Mm.
But nobody grows up our emotional body for us.
Yeah.
You know, no attention is paid to that, and you can see that by the way our leaders behave.
Oh, yeah.
They behave like kids in the schoolground beating each other up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have emotional bodies of 7-year-olds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the emotional body has to be grown up by ourselves, not by someone else.
Yeah.
And it's really a journey that we go on to grow up on that level.
It sounds a little bit like we have to go back to essence and take charge, almost as if we are our own parents.
You got it right. You hit the nail right on the head.
Ah.
You hit the nail right on the head.
Ah.
I have to become the parent to myself that I am really angry that I didn't have. Right?
Yes, exactly.
I expect my parents to have loved me unconditionally when they never were loved unconditionally. Where did they get this example for that they can carry out on me? Right?
Yes, exactly.
The only way I'm going to receive unconditional love is when I give it to myself.
Yes. And
okay.
You know, I know in my own process, I've always waited. In fact, I just finished a book, and I write about this in the book, that I was always waiting for somebody to come and rescue me.
Exactly.
And then I finally realized that at a certain moment, I was alone in my apartment. I was on drugs. My lover had left me. My dog had died. And I was in the deepest, darkest pit.
Yeah, that sounds like the dark night of the soul.
Oh, my God. Well, trust me, I've had more than one of those.
Right, yeah. They'll revisit until we get the message.
And it was like, you know, I just literally had this realization that all my life, people had at some point rescued me, and that nobody was going to do it, and that I was, the only thing left was for me to pick myself up and try to crawl out the holes one
right.
step at a time.
Right. And that's
so.
Called growing up.
Yeah, well, it ain't easy.
On an emotional level, you see.
It ain't easy.
It's not, well, it's not, you see, in the beginning of the book of the presence process,
yeah.
I say, eliminate the words easy and good from your vocabulary,
yeah.
right? Because if you always navigate towards good and easy, which you're doing so because of your emotional discomfort that you might not even be aware of,
yeah.
you're always navigating away from that which can help you.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, totally.
We need to change
yeah.
our perception and our relationship
yeah.
of what pain and discomfort is.
Yes, yes.
Right.
I agree with that 1,000%.
Pain and discomfort, that is the walkway into an authentic experience.
Yes, yes.
Right, to embrace
yes.
that and allow it to lead us back into the body and back into the emotional body. The emotional body is crucial.
Yeah.
Because what... The conversation we really all want to have is the one with the vibrational, or we can call it the spiritual.
Yeah.
That's the conversation we're really after.
Yes.
The intent is to be in this physical world, but to be able to have that conversation experientially, not through someone else or being told what someone else has a conversation about.
Yes.
But to have our own conversation.
Yes.
And the thing is, the vocabulary for that conversation comes from emotional body awareness.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't come from the mental body or the physical body.
Yeah.
The vibrational realm, the vibrational, this is the clue, a vibration is initially felt.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm suppressing my emotional body, then I do not have the vocabulary to have that conversation. In other words, my
That's
pain
right.
and discomfort are the invitation to that conversation.
Yes.
So, in sacred texts it said you must suffer to know God. No, you mustn't go out and make a bed of nails and lie on it to know God. All we have to do is to take care of our own inherent suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And the astounding thing is we all have exactly the amount of fear, anger, and grief. Fear is related to the physical,
yeah.
anger is related to the mental, and grief directly relates to emotional.
Yeah.
We all have the exact amount of fear, anger, and grief that when we feel it fully, develops a range of feeling of emotional body awareness of vocabulary that enables us to have the conversation with the vibrational.
Huh.
That's the trick right there, you
yeah.
see?
Yeah.
So the emotional body is the portal into the vibrational. And that's why if you go across the border to Mexico,
mm.
you see pictures of Jesus with his heart and it's on fire and he's pointing at it and he's
yeah.
saying, do you get it? Right?
Yeah. yeah.
Deal with the heat in your heart, because if you allow yourself to feel that, it develops the vocabulary that enables you to have the conversation that you really want to be having.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why our fear and our emotional condition, that's a rite of passage which separates the wheat from the chaff, because I'm not going to face my fear until I'm ready to.
Right.
I'm not going to face my fear for you. All right? I'm
exactly.
not going near my fear for you. I'm not going near my fear for anybody. I'm only going to face my fear, my anger, and grief when I'm ready to.
Right.
And that way the emotional body separates the wheat from the chaff. Only when we've evolved to a point that we're ready to have that conversation are we able to start going in there.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel that these are special or accelerated times, that the planet is shifting in its energy?
Absolutely. I think that's what has happened, is that we have entered emotional body awareness as a planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the thing about entering emotional body awareness is that the mental body no longer helps us. The mental body is really the male side of our being.
Yeah.
So that's why therapy doesn't work anymore for people. It's not helping them to actually tread water anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're now being asked to enter emotional body and to feel what's going on there.
Yeah.
And it's very clear what's happening. When we journey through the emotional body, we go from fear, which is related to the physical, because we're going backwards along this pathway of awareness.
Uh-huh.
So we go from fear, then we go into our anger, and then we go into our grief. And once we've gone through our grief, we enter the state called joy, which we can talk about, which is not an emotion. Joy is a relationship that I have with my emotional body.
Okay.
But as I'm going through this journey, you can see that the planet, after 1999, we entered emotional body awareness as a planet. And first we entered the terror, which is the fear, the war and terror.
Oh, yeah.
And then we entered the rage, which we went in the war of the Middle East, the anger.
Yeah.
And then we entered the grief, which was the tsunami, the massive tsunami that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And that was an initiation for the whole of humanity, because that wave hit everybody.
That's right.
Everyone was in that building when those planes hit. I mean, everyone was affected by that.
Yes.
And everyone is affected by this war in the Middle East.
Yep.
So it's a human experience that we're sharing, and it went in that rhythm. It went from fear to anger to grief to activate that aspect of our emotional body.
Huh.
Now, this is the thing. The memories that come up to be processed from the emotional body don't come up as thoughts and concepts in our head.
Okay.
They come up as the way we perceive people behaving around us or circumstances around us that upset us emotionally.
Huh.
In other words, the memory isn't the person in front of me standing, behaving like my father,
yeah,
or speaking like my father, or making me think about my father. The memory is the feeling underneath that event that's reminding me. The memory is actually the emotional signature.
Huh.
Because I don't have insight. Insight is a tool of emotional body awareness.
Right.
What I do is I function outside. Okay, I use outside instead of inside.
Mm.
So I can't see what's going on in my emotional body. The only way I can see it is by what's upsetting me in the world. Whatever upsets me in the world is setting me up. Not upsetting me, it's setting me up to see conditions about my own emotional body. If I then run out into the world and attack the world, and try and rearrange it as a physical circumstance,
yeah,
or even go into it as a mental concept, I won't be in danger of entering a conflict that will cause me to lose my body.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can enter a war, conflict, combat, right?
Yeah.
Fighting for my religion, for my country, for whatever it is that I perceive is being reflected back from me out there.
Yeah.
Or I can transform this by going into myself and allowing me to feel these things without projecting them into the world.
Huh.
And so that's what's happening at the moment. That's really separating those in the world that are evolving from those that are revolving.
Mm.
If we enter revolution, we revolve. We go back to the same story over and over again.
Yeah.
The victim becomes the victor and creates more victims underneath him, and then you know, it's overthrown. It goes over. That's all
over
revolution
and over.
Is, right?
Yep.
And the word says it. We revolve, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we enter evolution. And that's the meek will inherit the earth story. And meek doesn't mean weakness.
Uh-huh.
Meek means I'm not going to project my emotional body into this world, and I'm not going to go into combat with these memories I see around me.
Right.
I'm going to transform it within me. And I'm going to look like I'm a quiet, meek person.
Right.
But actually what I'm doing is I'm doing the work internally.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes
you can't do this work externally.
Yeah.
You have to do it internally. And so as I do it internally, what I do is I neutralize the fear and anger and grief. I develop this emotional body vocabulary that enables me to have the conversation with the vibrational. And I evolve into a being that's in the physical but is aware fully of the vibrational.
Mm.
If I don't evolve, then I revolve. I enter combat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I will most probably lose my body.
Mm-hmm,
in the turmoil that's happening. So if we look at the world at the moment, we will see that we are processing humanity's emotional body.
Yeah.
Because we're about to be invited to have a fantastic conversation with the vibrational. Okay, and this is what all the prophecies are saying.
Huh.
Something wonderful is going to happen here.
Now, talk more about that.
Right, so I can see it as the end time, the end of time,
yeah,
or the end of the world,
yeah,
or the end of living in a time-based paradigm.
Yeah, yeah.
The end times or the end of the world. And everyone is talking about it. You know, the Aztecs say at some point the sun is going to speak to us, blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
You know, all this stuff is going to happen. But really what it is that we're going through a cleanse of the emotional body.
Huh.
And the only way out is through. In other words, I need to face my fear, my anger, and my grief. I need to take responsibility for my own emotional body. And in doing so, evolve myself into vibrational awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
If I blame someone else, and blame is a great word, to be lame, if I blame myself to someone else, if I disempower myself by saying, no, someone else is responsible for the way I feel about things, no one can be responsible for the way I feel.
That's right.
Okay? And my feeling is the causal point of my experience. So I'm responsible for the quality of my experience. And so that's what's going to separate the wheat from the chaff.
So do you think that there's a time frame that is similar to the Mayan end time of 2012, that by such a certain time that events will align in such a way that there will be some kind of incredible shift of consciousness or awareness or vibrational alteration?
Yes, but I don't think it's the way we see it, because at the moment we see it as a time-based paradigm, because we're living in the mental plane.
Right.
We're still trying to figure out what happened and how to stop it happening again.
Yeah.
Which creates a time-based experience. That's what the child in us is doing, the emotional body.
Huh.
Right. So we perceive this as some point on the linear horizon when we arrive at a particular date when something will happen.
Right.
But what happens is when we extract our awareness out of the unconsciousness, out of trying to figure out what happened yesterday and what happened tomorrow. For example, most of us don't live in the body. Okay, we live in the mental plane.
Uh-huh.
And we can drive to work or drive somewhere and have no memory of how we got there.
Absolutely.
Okay, which proves that, you know, that's one of the proofs that there is this presence called God, because someone's driving the car and it's not us, right?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So where are we when we're driving the car? We're in the mental plane. We're not even here.
Yeah.
And what the end times is, it's the end of the ability to be able to do that.
Huh.
If you keep doing that, you're going to lose your body.
Yeah.
You're going to go into some behavior that's going to cause you to lose this physical vehicle. Then you're out of the game.
Oh, right? Yeah.
What I want to do is stay in this vehicle.
Oh, okay.
But when I bring my full awareness into this body and I experience this moment, right, which is we call entering the now or entering present moment awareness, or all have names for it.
Yeah.
It's a state of being in which I'm fully here. It's no longer a date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the moment we see it as a date, but really what is it's a state of being that is becoming available to humanity.
And it always was and always is. And
when we arrive there, we'll go, okay, well, I've always been here.
Right.
What was that dream I was having, right?
Right, right.
That crazy, crazy dream I was having.
Yeah.
It's the same as when I'm having a dream in my sleep, and it's a nightmare, and I'm running. I don't know it's a dream. I don't think in terms of that. I'm just running. I'm just reacting.
Yeah.
Okay? And when I wake up in the morning and I go, wow, that was nothing, right?
Yeah.
So we've been going through an experience like that too as humanity, and that's a lot of what's happening is we're behaving, a lot of people are behaving as if they're in a nightmare.
Yeah.
And they really are.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'll give you an example. If you walked into the room and you remind me of my father,
yeah,
I no longer see you.
Right.
You have disappeared. I have now seen an illusion.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a ghost from the past, right?
Yeah.
If I start behaving around you the way I behaved around my father,
yeah,
I am now entering a delusional state.
Yes.
I'm not behaving about, there's no authenticity about my behavior at all.
Yeah.
I am now approaching some phantom is before me, right?
That's right.
Most of us are living like that 24 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't go on living like that much longer. Look what it's doing to our experience.
Well, it's killing us and it's killing the planet.
Well, it looks like that, but what we're really doing at the moment is we're processing. We say we want to enter peace. We want to enter vibrational consciousness because peace is given. We don't have to make peace. This is the big illusion. The Middle East is at peace. Okay?
Okay.
Iraq is at peace.
Okay.
Right?
Just
take all the human beings away and you'll see how peaceful it is.
Yeah.
Right. It's completely at peace. Peace is given. I don't have to make peace. But if I authentically want to experience peace, then what I have to do is take a look at, place my awareness upon what it is that's obscuring my perception of the peace that's already given.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything about the vibrational is given. It's not something I have to make. I don't have to cause the vibrational. The vibrational is already given.
Okay.
What I have to do is obscure the interference.
Okay.
And going into fear all the time. What is the interference that is preventing me from perceiving what is already given? Okay? And work with resolving that. When I resolve that, I will see the peace. I will feel the peace that's always here.
Huh.
Peace is given. Love is given. All these things are given. We don't have to make them. The idea that we have to go and make peace with each other, that's a complete perceptual error.
We can't make something
that's already given.
How can we get that message to the politicians who seem to have more power and control over this matter?
Well, you know, it's a message that comes to those that are ready to do the work.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone, at the moment, our politicians are doing a really good job at modeling how we are being with ourselves and with our families.
Uh-huh.
Because really, there is no difference between the way most of us behave towards our own hearts. We're at war with ourselves,
yeah,
and with our own families, to the way politicians are behaving towards other countries.
Yeah.
So really, the politicians aren't doing anything to us. They're reflecting the way we really are with ourselves.
Right.
Okay?
And
if we want to change that, we have to become the peace we want to see. We don't have to go and tell someone, oh, look, get it together and make peace, dude. That's the old approach. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Divine alchemy is when I become the peace, I enter the peace that I want to see in the world.
Mm.
And then I radiate that from my emotional body, because peace is a vibration. It wants to radiate through my emotional body into the way I think, into my thoughts, and into my physical circumstances.
Okay.
Right? So my job is to bring my emotional body to a state of balance, to an openness and a stillness, so that vibration can come through. It's no good me going to physically rearrange the world and tell other people to be at peace think that I can get them to make peace on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's a complete illusion. No one can make peace for me. I am the peace that I'm seeking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just have to clear away all the interpretations, the perceptual errors, all the nonsense that's going on as a result of the discomfort in my emotional body.
Now, how long did it take you to discover, to work through these different layers of this process before the pain was actually not there anymore for you? And do you still have any pain from your disease today?
I have no pain at
all.
Wow. But if the pain did come back, I wouldn't have the same relationship with it as I had before.
Hmm.
It would be something, you know, it would be asking me to pay attention to something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm pain-free.
Wow.
And it probably took me I probably entered a pain-free experience around 2001,
okay,
where I really officially became pain-free.
Wow.
And then after that, I started probably working really consciously on this about 1995, 1996.
Okay.
And so I went through the pain is honest. It's not going to go until I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then if I start losing it, it's going to come back and go, hang on a moment. Because the pain was not really related to a physical circumstance, but a state of awareness that I was in.
Okay.
Okay. Where I was being irresponsible about the condition of my emotional body.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking responsibility for it.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So I was, the pain was a sign that I was once again entering reactive behavior.
No.
But it's not about avoiding pain and discomfort.
Right.
And this is the whole thing about what I wanted to say. We were going to get back to this conversation about what joy is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Joy, when we're in discomfort and we're striving for unhappiness, we're striving for happiness.
Right.
The pursuit of happiness is a behavior in which I run towards one set of circumstances and I run away from another set of circumstances.
Yep.
And the set of circumstances I run towards are things that I think are going to make me feel good and make it easy for me.
Right.
Right? And they're usually physical things like a big house, a great job, lots of money, a beautiful babe by my side. You know, all the acknowledgement from the world, fame, fortune, all these things are going to make me happy.
Right.
So I run towards that and I run away from a set of circumstances which I have defined as bad.
Right.
Right. And what's happening is inside my emotional body, what I'm really doing internally is running away from one set of emotional circumstances which I've called fear, anger, and grief.
Uh-huh.
And I'm running towards another one which I've now labeled as being feel good, so happiness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what happens is it creates a split in my emotional body. The stuff I run towards becomes good. The stuff I run away from becomes bad.
Yep,
the
yep.
good becomes God. The bad becomes evil.
Yep.
And what I do is I project this into this world and I enter a world in which there's ongoing conflict between good and evil, between God and the devil, between this religion and that religion, between this society, between this group and that group. That's what I'm projecting in the world. Joy is not an emotion. So in other words, joy and happiness are not the same thing. When I'm running after happiness, I think joy is some happy emotional state. But that's not true. Joy is a relationship that I have with my emotional body. Okay? A relationship in which I allow all feeling in.
Okay.
Because I know through my experience that all feelings increase the vocabulary, the emotional body awareness with which I enter a conversation with the vibrational. Why, if I am pushing down certain feelings, these feelings I don't want to fear, all of that is a vocabulary or ways of communicating with the vibrational.
Yeah.
Why would I want to cut the level of conversation I can by half that I can have with the vibrational? So joy is not an emotion, although you can see it expressed emotionally. It's not a mental concept, although we can discuss it as we're discussing it now.
Right.
And it's not a physical circumstance, although you can see people that are in a state of joy because they're at peace.
Right? Yeah.
Joy is bring all feelings to me. I want to feel everything because the more I can feel, the greater my vocabulary is of felt perception and therefore the deeper and more intense conversation I can have with the vibrational.
Okay.
All right. So joy is not happiness.
Where does synchronicity fit into this equation?
Well, synchronicity really fits in. When we have an experience of synchronicity, it's because we are in that moment, we're very present. And it's only in the present moment. The present moment connects cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I enter present moment awareness, I can see the connection between causes and effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like everything is like linked up
and
is happening as it's meant to be happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I can see the energetic components of the moment. Right? That's what synchronicity is. That's all it is.
Yeah.
The more we enter present moment awareness, the more we can perceive the connection between the causes that have been set in motion and the consequences.
Yes.
Right? And then we start feeling psychic because we can tell things are going to happen, but what we really are is becoming aware of the consequences of things.
Yeah.
So the more we enter present moment awareness, the more we can see, especially the most important thing is to use our own experience as a teacher and not other people's. And you see, we live in an age where we have gone mental, and it's the mental age. We're coming out of that, right?
Yeah.
And in the mental age, the mistaken perceptual error is this, that information is knowledge.
Yeah.
And information is not knowledge.
No.
Information is to assist us to move information with each other, right? That's what it is. It's information, right?
Yeah.
But it's not knowledge. We have to combine information with personal experience to give the information a context of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when I combine information with experience, then I begin to know something. And the part of the experience that is important is what I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is a part of the experience. The feeling component is what I want to add to the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to have knowledge. And when I start to act on this knowledge, then I'm functioning from some point of wisdom. Now, I'll give you an example of this. I can ask you to give me a talk on a roller coaster. And you can go to the theme park and you can stand there and watch the roller coaster all day and then come back and give me a talk on the roller coaster. And it might be an interesting, entertaining talk, but it's really not really a talk about, you don't really know anything about a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So you can go and physically watch it and watch what's going on.
Yeah.
Or you can go and get the book out on G-Force, right? And the engineering specialties on roller coasters and learn the history of roller coasters and really know everything about roller coasters mentally.
Yeah.
And come and give me a talk on a roller coaster. And it may be interesting, but you really do not know anything about roller coasters.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you go and climb on one, You don't even have to have your eyes open. Just climb on one and have a ride.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
You're going to get off there. You're going to feel something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be able to tell me something. You're going to know something about roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So one of the things, one of the things that's really important is to enter the experience.
Yes, yes.
Enter whatever we want to, whatever we're curious about. Don't run to a book.
Yeah.
And read the book and think you know something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's depriving yourself of real knowledge.
Yeah.
Really enter the feeling component of it.
Yeah.
You know? We don't read about bungee jumping and go, wow, that was incredible experience. You know?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know something about it.
Right? Yeah.
And it's the same with spirituality.
Yeah.
Often what we do is we read books and we listen to people talk.
Yes.
And we read books and we watch people doing specific rituals and ceremonies.
Yep.
And we think we know something about it.
Yep.
We really need to enter the experience.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That's what the presence process isn't a book. Okay?
Yeah.
What it is, it's an invitation for you to enter your own experience.
Wow.
So it's a 10-week procedure that has very simple procedures, but when you follow them and you follow this 10-week process, what it does is invite you not to have my experience.
Right.
Okay, that's where that saying is. If you meet Buddha on the road, shoot him. Why?
Yeah.
'Cause he's going to try and sell you his experience.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't want Buddha's experience. You don't want Jesus' experience. You don't want Krishna's experience. You want your experience.
Exactly.
Right? And so the presence process is just saying, here is a means for you, a guidance for you to enter your own experience.
Yeah.
So that you can know something for yourself about the relationship between your physical, mental, emotional, and vibrational experiences.
About
you
our
can
own
actually
role
know
culture.
Something.
You mentioned the vibrational. I kind of have a sense of what you mean by that, but you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I prefer that than the word spiritual, and I guess what I'm talking about is the spiritual.
Okay.
But I don't like the word spiritual because I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I find that, you know, when we decide we want to be spiritual,
yeah.
then what we do is we have to have an idea of what that means, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
then we go and be that thing. We go and
yep.
do that thing, really, more than be it. We go and do a whole lot of stuff because it's spiritual.
Yeah.
And then when the moment calls on us to do something authentic, and that authentic behavior doesn't fit our definition of spiritual, then we're stuck.
Yep.
We can't be authentic because we're being spiritual, right?
Yes, exactly.
So there are many traps. And also, I may enter, you know, some sort of spiritual group or some sort of spiritual practice and then be driving along the freeway looking at the people driving past me thinking, when are these people are going to get spiritual because I'm so spiritual, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it can cause separation and
yes.
segregation consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
So I prefer the word vibrational.
I like that.
Because it doesn't have an emotional charge,
yeah.
but it also holds within it the clue to entry into a vibrational experience, which
yeah.
is initially that vibration requires feeling. We feel vibrations, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's the clue.
Yeah.
If I want to enter an experience of the spiritual or the vibrational, it's very important what the condition of my emotional body is and what my relationship is towards my emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get to the heart of the matter, right?
Mm, yeah.
Right into the heart of the matter.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. Hey?
Now, some people who do, I do a little bit of remote healing with a small group of healers. And,
right.
I found that there is such a thing that we're almost, I don't want to say that we are non-local, but quantum physics does seem to be indicating that we might be non-local.
Yes.
Yes. How do you feel about that whole situation?
Well, the experience of that is available to anybody, and again, it's through the emotional body.
Yeah.
Because physically, you and I, we're separate right now, although we're talking to each other.
Hmm.
If I walked over and I put my hand on you, we'd be physically connected.
Correct.
If I take my hand away, we're physically separated.
Right.
Right. Mentally, we can be connected too. We can sit here and agree.
Yeah.
And then we're connecting. Or we can disagree, which is just as great. We don't have to agree. We can disagree.
Yeah.
But then mentally, we're disconnected, right?
Right.
But emotionally, because emotional body is the energy in motion body.
Yeah.
The emotions, the energies running through me, run through the chair,
yeah.
run through the wall, quantum physics has showed us that all this is moving through, everything is moving through everything. But it's only when I enter emotional body awareness, felt perception,
yeah,
that I begin to feel my connection with everything. And then I realize that I am not localized by any means.
Mm-hmm.
My awareness can be focused at this point, but actually I'm connected to everything, and that my presence in the world is felt by everything,
mm-hmm,
and everything is feeling my presence,
mm-hmm,
like this multidimensional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be just, that's just a concept, or a discussion, unless I awaken emotional body awareness and,
mm-hmm,
allow myself. I only know that to be true if I can feel it,
mm-hmm,
not if I think it.
Right.
And there's
right.
no physical circumstances under which I can really prove that to my eyes, because my eyes can only see the physical world, and everything in the physical world appears separate from everything else.
Yeah.
So my eyes can't tell that to me. My mental processes can't even grasp that.
Yeah.
I mean, the
yeah.
mental body cannot grasp infinite, eternity, everything connected. It can discuss it forever and ever.
Yeah, well, of course.
But it can't grasp it. The only way I can grasp it is if I feel it to be so.
Yeah.
And so it's through awakening emotional body awareness that those realizations and the real eyes, you know, that word, the real eyes,
yeah.
are the eyes of the emotional body.
Yeah.
Of course, the real eyes are the ones of the vibrational body. But first we need to have the conversation with the emotional body through self-perception before we enter that conversation.
Yes, yes.
So everything comes from the vibrational. Everything is the vibrational, which is moving through the emotional body, energy in motion, which then becomes conceptualized, which then takes on physical form. If my awareness is attached to the physical world, I'm a separation consciousness. I can't help it.
Yeah.
If my awareness is in the mental, I can't even grasp oneness. I mean, I might like to discuss concepts like oneness and unity consciousness.
Right.
But only when I feel how connected I am with anything, I feel, the emphasis is on feel, do I authentically enter unity or oneness consciousness. And that's what happens, is when people awaken their emotional body awareness, no one has to say to them, don't hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I intend to hurt you, I feel it. If I do hurt you, I do feel it.
Yeah.
Because I'm functioning from my emotional body awareness.
Do you think some people have killed off their emotional bodies, or
no? You can't kill it off. You can just sedate it or control it to a point of complete lack of awareness.
But some people seem to have literally no conscience.
No. Well. Most human beings function from mental physical awareness and
yeah.
don't have any emotional awareness. What we do is we use our emotional body for drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we use it for fear, anger, and grief. And drama
right.
is a dysfunction
yeah.
of the emotional body, just like thinking is a dysfunction of the mental body.
Yeah.
You know, the mental body is not designed for thinking. There's nothing to think about. You
right,
either know
right.
something through your experience or you don't know it. But no
right.
amount of thinking is going to help you.
Right.
That's an illusion, right?
Yeah.
The mental body is great for navigation, for
yeah.
pointing the attention and holding the attention. The emotional body for intent, for bringing a quality of felt perception to the experience, and the physical body for anchoring ourselves so that our awareness isn't floating like plankton all over the place, that we actually have a place, you know, to be,
yeah.
which is what the whole thing is about, the gift of the body. But the emotional body is used for drama, and what we have to do is start letting go of the drama and entering the dharma. It's either drama or dharma,
mm-hmm.
you know, one or the other. And the dharma is, what is it within my fear, anger, and grief that's calling my attention? Let me resolve that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me integrate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can let go of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And all drama really is, the drama is my behavior that I put into the world to get attention from the world and acknowledgement from the world and emotional support from the world, because I am unable, I'm
yeah.
not mature enough yet to do that for myself.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah, absolutely.
So as I learn, as I grow up my emotional body, I automatically manifest less and less drama.
Right,
yeah,
right. What? How does consciousness fit into the emotional body?
Well, you know, for me, it's awareness.
Awareness?
You know, so, you know, I don't want to get too mental about concepts and things.
Yeah.
So I guess I am consciousness, you are consciousness,
mm-hmm.
we're all of the same consciousness,
mm-hmm.
which is determined, but our experience is determined by our awareness. And awareness is says what the word says. Where is my consciousness focused?
Yeah.
Awareness. Where is it, right?
Yeah.
The awareness. And if my awareness is totally entrapped by the physical world, if I'm transfixed by the physical and I believe that the physical is the cause of my experience,
mm-hmm.
for example, if I have a partner that I'm having a problem with, I just change them. Or if I'm in a job I don't like, I just move out the job.
Mm.
Or if there's a country I don't like, I just nuke it, right?
if my
awareness is in the physical only,
right.
then that's where my consciousness is. My
right.
consciousness is physicalized completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where it is. Because that's where my awareness is. But it's all, for me, it's all the field of consciousness.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, another way of saying the vibrational. It's, but I don't want to get too analytical because we can get too caught up
yeah.
in what consciousness means.
Yeah, you're right.
And for different people, they might have a different thing.
Yeah.
All I go is like, I have my presence, and my presence is either here in this moment
mm-hmm.
or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever my presence is determined by my awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I and why am I there and not here?
Mm-hmm.
And the more of myself that I bring into this moment, the more conscious I come,
mm-hmm.
the more I hook my awareness in here and keep to hold it here, the more conscious I become, I guess, the more consciousness I become aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can go round and round, but but we want to feel it, you know?
Right,
that's
right.
The bottom line is that I want to feel conscious. I don't want to
right.
discuss consciousness. I want
right.
to feel conscious, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And then that seems to require the heart connection, or I guess you could say the heart chakra.
Absolutely. What it requires is going in and taking a look at why I'm afraid,
mm-hmm.
why I'm angry,
mm-hmm.
and why I'm sad. And really, what I most fear, because when anyone enters this work, they become afraid initially.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm most afraid of is my anger. And anger is a big one. Anger is massive because in this world you're allowed to be afraid.
Yeah.
You're allowed to build walls around your country or walls around your houses. You're allowed to carry guns on you to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be afraid, right?
Yeah.
You're also allowed to be sad. You know, you're allowed to go and have Prozac and all those things and
yeah.
all those drugs. You're allowed to be sad. It's okay to be depressed. We'll sedate you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not allowed to be angry.
Yeah.
Anger is a no-no.
Yeah.
You get too angry, we're going to lock you up, right?
Yeah.
We're going to put you, because we don't want to deal with our anger. So anger's a big one.
Yeah.
But so what I'm most afraid of is my anger, because if I sink into my fear and I start to go through that fear and into my anger, I'm afraid that if I let my anger off, if I let the world know exactly how pissed off I am,
yeah.
right, that I'm going to break everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm really afraid of my anger. But if I allow myself to sit in my anger completely,
mm.
then what's going to happen is I'm going to realize why I'm so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm so angry is because I had my heart broken.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the grief right there.
Yeah.
Right? So then I need to sink into this grief.
Grief.
You know, because no one, I entered this world as an unconditional being.
Yeah.
And it's a conditional world. And that alone is a traumatic experience.
Oh,
right
God.
There, bottom line, right?
Absolutely.
And then I radiated myself to this world as a child. And for mostly, that radiance didn't come back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's deliberate.
If anything, it gets stomped out.
Yeah. Well, that's deliberate.
Yeah.
And the word deliberate contains the word liberate. Right?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm the one who's come to bring unconditional love into this world by first giving it to my heart at the causal point.
Yeah.
Loving myself unconditionally.
Yeah.
And then that will radiate into the way I behave with other people. And then that will come back to me as a reflection of how this world is.
Yeah.
So the unconditional love is only available. It's like this world is like a deep, deep, dark ocean. And if you come in, if you go down to a deep, dark ocean, you better make sure you take some oxygen with you.
Yeah.
Because there's none there. And
yeah.
and one of the biggest perceptual errors we have in humanity is we think we come here to get love, but love can't be experienced as something you get. Love can only be truly experienced as something you give.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
in the giving that love is perceived, not in the getting.
Yeah.
So we go out looking for love all the time,
yep.
not realizing that the very thing we're looking for is what we've come here to give.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, there's nothing to get here, and that's where that, you know, that saying comes from, that a hearse doesn't have a roof rack, right? Because there's nothing to get. You come with nothing, you leave with nothing, which is a small clue that you're actually here to give, not to get.
Yeah.
And what we most run around the world looking to get, which is to be loved, is what we've come to give.
Yeah.
And once we realize that and give that first to ourselves, because I cannot give away to others what I don't have.
Exactly.
Right? I first got to give it to my own heart. And that's the child, the inner child work, or the becoming my own parent.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
I have to love myself unconditionally no matter what. Not as a means to an end, not for 10 weeks to see what happens.
No.
There is no point at which I am not responsible for what's going on in my own heart.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And if I take on that responsibility as a way of being, not as something I do, but as a way of being, then I will become loving towards others. If I, by learning to love myself unconditionally, I automatically am able to love others unconditionally.
That's right.
And then I will see unconditional love as the frequency of my world.
Yeah.
And the frequency is really what's most frequently happening. That's the frequency, right?
Yes.
So how I am most frequently with myself is what I most see frequently in the world. The world is telling me.
Yeah.
And that's why, for example, a person who feels deeply helpless runs around trying to help everybody.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So I don't want to run around helping anybody. No one needs any help.
That's right.
Everyone is exactly where they are because of the consequences of their thoughts, words, and deeds. What I need to do is become the peace that I want to put in the world. Not run around trying to force everyone else to be at peace.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And also, you know, one thing that I've noticed, too, is that the more, you know, once I realized that the relationship game was about trying to, you know, fix myself or get love from an outside source, the more I was able to give.
Now, I love that you bring up that subject.
The more I realized that I didn't need to have a relationship with anybody else, and that the more you give, that it's a bottomless pit, that there's no end to it.
Right.
You know.
Well, you can't have a relationship with anyone else because that's always just going to reflect the relationship you're having with yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Right, and so we make this whole thing up about relationship, which would be the same as me writing a book about breathing instead of about present moment awareness.
Right,
okay?
Right.
A relationship is a tool, just like breathing is a tool to bring you into the present moment.
Yeah.
Relationship is a tool to bring you into intimacy.
Yes.
Okay? Intimacy is a great word. It means into me and see. Intimacy, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm in a relationship in order to be able to see deeper in myself.
Yes.
And I can tell you this, that anyone who's infatuated with enlightenment, you just take that person and facilitate them into a real experience of intimacy, and they will forget all about enlightenment. Okay?
Yes.
Enlightenment is for those who are afraid of intimacy, right?
Yeah.
Because enlightenment is a mental concept.
Yeah.
Okay, what is this thing called enlightenment that we're striving for that we'll have one day we'll get there, right?
Yeah.
Intimacy is about being here now in this moment, being intimate with myself.
Yeah.
Being intimate with the world around me, being intimate with my love relationship, and absolutely, when I'm intimate with what God is for me, I don't care to be enlightened about God when I'm intimate.
Yeah.
And the thing about intimacy, it contains self-perception. Intimacy is of the emotional body, it's of the heart.
Yeah.
Enlightenment is of the mental body.
That's right.
Like this concept that's been fed to us, you know, that there's some experience we're supposed to arrive at, a destination.
Yeah.
But, you know, God realization, God, this thing called God that we've called God is infinite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the journey into God realization is infinite.
Yeah.
It's a journey without an end. Enlightenment lets us believe we come to some destination.
Right. And we can rest and the
exactly. Now I'm done.
Retire.
You know. And now what, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just knock myself unconscious and start from the beginning again so I can do something, right?
I hope that's
but intimacy is about the journey. It's about arrive here in this moment, feel what's going on right now, be with what's going on right now without trying to force yourself upon it, you know, without trying to sedate and control it, without trying to turn it, to wield it into fulfilling your own plans and your agendas. Try and see it just as it is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's justice. That's real justice. I see it just as it is. That's justice.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Right.
Well, Michael, you know, this hour has gone by so fast. I mean, we're just about out of time. I wanted to make sure that people have a chance to find out how to reach you and where your website is and so on and
well,
so forth.
Well, that's wonderful, and I appreciate you doing that. The website that they can go to is called the Presence Portal, P-O-R-T-A-L.
Okay.
The Presence Portal. So it's www.thepresenceportal.com.
Okay.
And they can go there. There's a number of books aside from the Presence Process there. There's a whole lot of audios that are free that people can listen to. There's all sorts of things there to explore. And they can, if they want the book, The Presence Process, they can get it in the main bookstores in the United States and Canada. It's also about to come out in Spanish, which is fantastic.
Oh, good.
But they can get that. They can also go to namastepublishing.com.
Okay.
Namastepublishing.com. That's the name of the publisher.
Wonderful.
And they can get the book there from them directly. You can also get it on Amazon.com. You know, if you just type in The Presence Process. But my personal website is the Presence Portal. You can go and explore and have fun in there.
Yes, it is, and it's delightful. It's a delightful place to visit. I've read the book, and I haven't digested it all yet. But it's all on the right. It's basically what we're talking about here now.
Exactly.
And it's wonderful stuff. And Michael, you have been a delightful guest. I'm so thankful that you decided to come and join us tonight on a Fireside Chat.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, good. That's wonderful. Well, thanks again, everybody. And this has been a Fireside Chat with Michael Brown. And I guess that's a wrap. Good night, everybody. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Bye-bye.